is my music stand. Well, I don't have much to hold tonight. Y'all had a good week? Since last we were together? No? Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Hey, thank you, Mike, very much, man. We missed you, man. Well, I missed it, see? I missed the deal. My fault. All right. Well, I had a good week, and it's good to be back here with you tonight. Anybody going out of town next weekend for Labor Day? All right. I expect the rest of you to be here, okay? I'll be out of town next. We got to go to Denver and do my father-in-law's wedding. Can you believe that? I'm going to marry my father-in-law. So, oh no, I'm not going to marry him. You know, I'm going to perform the ceremony. Come on, get a life. I'm not that strange. You thought I was kind of strange. I'm not that strange. You know, tonight I'm just doing this little bitty message, see? Because after Labor Day, I'm going to start a series. But tonight, what I want to talk with you about is entitled, Better Choices, Better Life. How many have ever wished your life could be better than it is or was? Anybody? Okay, raise your hand really high if you wish it could be a little bit better. Okay, how many of you ever thought to yourself, you know, if only this and this and this and this hadn't happened to me, my life would be so much better. It's easy, isn't it, to look at other people's lives and then compare them to our lives and think, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. If only I'd have been born cuter, more attractive, more athletic, more talented. If only I hadn't had such a dysfunctional upbringing, my life would be so much better. Did you realize that about 90% of your life and 90% of what right now, today, and tomorrow, and the next day could happen in your life is in your control? Most of the things that happen to us in life are not things we cannot control, things we cannot influence, but they're things that we can influence. And that is a very different way of looking at life. And I want to talk with you about that this evening. Joe, could you give me a little bit more on the monitors, please? Thank you. I want you to think for a moment about the decision-making power that each of us have in this room tonight. I'm going to go through a number of different types of choices, decisions that we can make in our lives, and you'll begin to see how the decision you might make in any one of these areas would affect your life. What I want to do first is read you from the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. It says this, "For the Lord grants wisdom, His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. He grants good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their path. He shows them how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time. For wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy." And then in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. "The person who knows right from wrong and has good judgment and common sense is happier than the person who is immensely rich." You know why the person who has good judgment and common sense is happier than the person who is immensely rich? Because riches alone do not make a person happy. You can have lots of money and still make lots of foolish choices that cause you lots of pain. I was visiting with a person recently who's been coming to the Rock, and they told me, "You know, Mark, I'm really excited about the last 2 years of my life. It's been 2 years since I got drunk and 2 years since I slept with anyone." And I said to this person, "Isn't it amazing the difference that those 2 years have been in your life because you've made different choices?" And this person said, it's phenomenal. The last 2 years of my life have been tremendous. And then since I started coming to the Rock and even more decisions that I've been making in my life, better decisions than I used to make, my life has just gotten so much better. I recently got a call from a dear friend who checked himself into treatment, made a good decision, was really struggling, vacillating with where to go, kind of living on the street, not living on the street. Called me the other day and said, "Mark, I'm in treatment. I'll be here for the next 2 months. I miss you. I want to get my life back together again." You see, making progress in our life is our decision. you and I have been given the God-given ability to choose. The prerogative in our life to choose. And I don't care whether you are rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow, whatever your background has been, right now you're here today and you have the opportunity to change your life starting now. And I want to go with you. I want to go through a few of these things this evening to help you understand this. Now, before I do that, I want to give you two simple suggestions, two little principles that will help you improve your life before we look at specific decisions. The first is you need greater wisdom. In order to make better choices, you need greater wisdom. And that comes from God's Word. God can give you greater wisdom. As we saw just a moment ago in Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible tells us that God grants wisdom. His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. He grants good sense to His people. He shows them how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. You don't need to go through your life making foolish decisions. You don't need to go through your life making decisions that you're going to pay for later. I think many of you realize that decisions you made 3 years ago, some of you are still paying for today. Decisions that we can make in any given day can have consequences that last for years. And God can give you the wisdom and the understanding that you need to avoid those kind of pitfalls. The second principle you need to know is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. This is one I've underlined. I've been carrying this little Living Proverbs around with me for almost 20 years. And I underline specific verses because they spoke to my heart, and this was one of them. A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. I grew up, I think the only way I could describe it was fairly arrogant, fairly self-sufficient. I had a father who was extremely choleric, extremely confident, and he always used to tell me, Mark, you can do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, you can do. And I kind of grew up believing that, and I could do whatever I wanted to do. Problem was that I never listened to anybody. I never listened to the warnings that other people gave me. I never listened to the aged experience that someone older might have had. I never asked. I was kind of headstrong, just kind of went my own way. I remember one of the first foolish decisions I ever made was to buy this car, this off-brand, off-name car. I took a loan out on the car, and a couple people, my father being one of them, said, you know, Mark, it probably is not a good decision. I was buying it from his brother. And he said, I hate to tell you this, Mark, but, you know, I don't really trust my brother. And I wouldn't trust it just because he's your uncle. You're getting a good car. But I had to have this sports car. It was a Datsun Roadster, 1600 Roadster. And I just had to have it. So I bought it, went into debt to get it. And every day that I owned it for the next 9 months, it brought pain to my life. It blew a head gasket. Try finding parts in 1975 for a Datsun 1600 Roadster. No one had. Then the radiator cap blew off, and so my father was sort of an inventor, so we'd be designing corks to stick into the radiator to figure out a way to keep it going. Finally, I sold the car, still owing money on it, because I just wanted it out of my life. And I bought a good old 63 Ford Falcon for $300, that three-speed on the column that would go and go and go. And that's exactly what it did, which is what I was advised to do before, but I didn't listen. My first $1,000 mistake. A fool thinks they need no advice. A wise person listens to others. Now, of course, they don't just listen to anybody. They get wise advice. You don't go to other fools to get good advice. Okay? That's a real important thing. I've encountered so many young people over the years, and actually middle-aged people, old people, who they go to their friends. Their friends are sometimes good, but sometimes not. And oh yeah, oh Miriam, oh he's the best thing ever happened in your life. And you know, other friends, don't do this. Don't do this. So we go to people who tell us what we think we want to hear. That's not being a wise person. And then in Proverbs, in chapter 10 and verse 8, says this. It's another one I underlined because it spoke to me. The wise man is glad to be instructed, but the self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. Have you ever fallen on your face? I tell you, one of the most embarrassing moments in my life. There's been a number, but this was, you know, the most embarrassing situation in my life, going on a tangent here for a moment, was the first time I tried to kiss my girlfriend. And I missed her mouth, and I got her on the nose, and it was really embarrassing. And I wanted to die like a thousand deaths. It was really, and I didn't have any training. You know, I don't know, for some reason, girls just seem to know how to kiss, but I didn't, and it was, anyway, that's another story for another time. So anyway, this was about when I first met Greg, and he was a young college student. I thought I'd play soccer with all the college students. I have improved, I want you to know, since this time. I've also gotten older, so I don't play it very often. But anyway, so I was a little bit heavier than I am now and a little bit out of shape at the time. But I thought I'd go out. I was just, I think, 31, 32. So we're playing down in the River Flats Park down there up at the U, and it's dusty and dirty, and I'm running, and I'm chasing after a ball, and I got it, and I'm like a little kid. My little body got ahead of my little feet, you know, your little portly body, and I sprawled. I mean, I just went face first, dirt in my mouth. I didn't even get my hands down fast enough, and I got to tell you, that was so stinking humiliating. Everyone, the whole game just stops. People are falling over laughing, and I want to kill a few people, you know, for something like that. I was traumatized, and I had to go to counseling to get over that. So I've since improved my game. I went home and worked on it after that. That was so humiliating, I tell you. Okay, so let me talk to you about some of the choices that you're confronted with every day, all right? First, choices with your time. All of us have been given 24 hours in every day. But I'll bet you not many of you know where your time goes. I want to give you just a rough idea. If you want to know how I got these figures, you can talk to me later. But they have been done with a calculator. They've been checked and rechecked. And these are just averages, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend everybody here tonight's 30, because that's what I was figuring at the time. Obviously, the average is probably 20. So you have an extra 10 years on here, all right? So everybody here is 30, and each of us are going to live till we're 70 years old. So that leaves us 40 years. So let's consider how that 40 years is going to be spent. Here's what it breaks down. 13 of those years will be sleeping. 8 years will be working. 1.5 will be commuting. 5 years, grooming yourself and eating. 6 years will be in front of the television. 6 years. The average American's life, and I was actually figuring 3.5 hours, and since that, it's gone up to almost 5 hours a day. The average cable household, the average family with cable, the recent statistic I read was almost 60 hours a week television. Now, that comes to 33.5 years of your next 40. Okay? So that leaves you 6.5 years that will include errands, family time, marriage, household duties, shoveling snow, yard work, recreation, dates, church life, personal life, exercise, prayer, being sick, vacations, etc. If you break that 6.5 years down, it leaves you 3.9 hours a day to use very wisely. Now, you can go home and do this on your own. It'll have a profound impact on you. The Bible tells us, I don't know if you knew this, but way before Stephen Covey was ever born, the Bible says in Psalms, teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. The book of Ephesians says, make the most of your time, for the days are evil. Make good decisions with your time. Make good use of your time. Because pretty soon, your time is gone. I've often heard people say, I just wish there were more hours in the day. You know what that statement implies? Let's just evaluate that for a moment. It implies God's an idiot. It implies that God should have made a 36-hour day instead of a 24-hour day. Listen, you have all the time and every day you need. You just need to make better decisions with what you do with the time God gave you. Better decisions. Think about that. I know so many people, I'll be really honest with you, who are just wasting their time away. The next one, of course, relates to time, and we call that this relational choices. Relational choices. Invest in healthy relationships. Some people do that. Others walk blindly into foolish relationships and they feel the pain later. I mean, when it's all said and done, when you're 65, 70, 80, 85 years old, and they're going to put something on your gravestone, what do you want to put on your gravestone? He was rich. She was pretty. They sure knew how to drive a boat. We watched Friends together for 22 years. What do you want there? I know there's many things I would want, but one of them was I would want not so much of my gravestone, but what I would want etched on the hearts of the people that knew me, and especially my children and my wife, he always put us first. Dad always had time for us to listen, to talk, to interact, to play. People, they were first. Another thing you want to think about when you make relational choices is this. I know some young people right now who are headed, if they keep going the way they are, into some very bad marriages. But they're afraid. They're making decisions based on fear. They think to themselves, look, someone better may not come along. I better get while the getting's good. I know others who make bad moral choices because they don't want to lose a relationship. If you have to make a bad moral choice, the relationship isn't worth keeping. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Mistakes can be made and they can be overcome. But what I'm saying is, if you're headed into a relationship, you're in a relationship with an individual where you just have to consistently make bad moral choices. Get out of this unhealthy relationship. Much of what I deal with people in counseling, is the sad and tragic relational choices they've made that if only they would have had better judgment and more common sense just a few years ago and made better decisions, their life would be so better right now. So much better right now. Maybe you're an individual who wants to break a bad habit. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's, in your opinion, smoking. Maybe it's whatever. One of the first things you've got to do is get away from the friends that you used to do that with. Because let me tell you an interesting phenomenon about bad habits. We never do them alone. Seldom do we do them alone. They're usually because of the peer group that we're hanging around that empowers us and sort of emboldens us to keep up those kind of negative behavioral patterns or destructive behavioral patterns. And I know Chad was sharing with me one time. He said, you know, Mark, all I had in common was smoking dope with my friends. That's what we did. He said, I realize now that once I wanted to stop, I didn't have friends anymore. That peer group didn't want to be my peer group anymore. That's what we all had in common was drugs. Make sure you think carefully about the relational choices that are going on in your life. Same-sex relational choices and opposite-sex relational choices. Think about them. Think them through carefully. Do not rush in headlong into a relationship with an individual who has not had time to turn their life around. Give them time. Give them space. Because what can often happen is an individual, it's amazing the temporal power that love brings to a person's life. I have seen it happen so many more times than I can count. where a young gal, young guy, they meet a member of the opposite sex. The person has a very bad track record, but they meet you and all of a sudden they appear to be cleaning their life up, changing. And then you get into this deep relationship with them. You get engaged to them. You get married. And all of a sudden, their real stripes show again. Because now they got you. And I don't have to work so hard. It's very important, in order to know that there's not ulterior motives going on, that you leave a healthy distance. Not that you ignore them or you're not friends with them, but you leave an emotional distance to give them time to really grow and develop. There are many, many bad habits that people will carry into the relationships. And they need time to develop new ones. Doesn't mean the person you marry is going to be perfect and there's never going to be any problems. That's not what I'm saying. But give yourself some time or else you're going to be in for a broken heart. You really are. You got to think, men and women. You got to think about this. I've talked to so many young couples that have either gotten married or they seriously think they're engaged and they haven't even talked about their goals and their values in life. They just assumed that they're on the same page. All of a sudden they start to talk and they realize, well, golly, you know, we don't have the same spiritual interest. We don't have the same financial values. We don't have the same view of children. I want some, you don't want any. How's that going to work? I've known of people, I've counseled people who have divorced their spouse because the spouse refused to have children. And they didn't know that before they got married. You've got to talk. Now, you've also got to know, though, can you trust the person who's talking? Because I have also known many people who've said just what you wanted to hear. You know how you find out if the talk is real? Just watch their walk. What kind of an employee are they? What kind of a sibling are they? What kind of a child are they to their parents? How do they talk about other people? How do other people talk about them? Don't you just believe what comes out of their mouth? For I've known many, an awesome female or male salesperson, and they can sell you on themselves so fast because they want something from you. Financial choices. Let me talk to you about financial choices. My goodness, so many young people make tragic financial decisions. To save or to spend. To go into debt or to make do with something else. To save now or buy later. Let me just give you an example I just happened to have with me tonight. Hey, isn't that neat? Okay. One of the things that, and when I share this example, I want to underscore that I'm using this example because it's current and it has to do with my own family, not because my family's perfect. They're not. But one of the things that I wanted my children to learn from was from previous mistakes that I have made and to develop good patterns, which I have been seeking to develop for the last 24 years in my life. And one of them is financial decisions. So with Celeste and Jeremy, I've always encouraged them, save your money, save money, and set goals. Don't just say save money because then you don't know how much. Try to save half of your income. That's what I've been trying to teach them for now. So you live at home, it's cheap, this is my gift to you, but let's save half your income. So put it away, put it away, put it away. So someday when it's time to get a really good car, you can just pay cash for it. Okay? Now I happen to know a lot about cars. I used to be in the industry. I used to work at a Cadillac dealership. I used to work in the auto parts industry for a long, long time. So, like some people know plumbing, some people know electricity, some people know carpentry. I know a lot about cars. And I also know a lot about selling because I used to do that as well. So I was trying to get a car for my daughter. She'd been making do. We bought this other car from a good friend. Got a really good deal on it. This Camry for $1,000 that the guy had already, just this year, had put $1,500 worth of work into it. So it had a new clutch. It was a good risk. A Camry was a good risk. And I figured that one day when she got another car, then I'd buy it from her and it'd be, you know, it'd be reliable transportation for me. So I began looking for a car, and across the street, the neighbor had this 95 Nissan Sentra for sale. Taking really good care of it. He had all the records of when he changed the oil. He'd written it down. That's one thing you always want to look for. He'd taken really good care of the maintenance, had 80,000 miles on it. He said he wanted $5,000 for it. I said, I'll tell you what, let me drive it. So I drove it, found a few things wrong with it. That's why I always try to drive them, find a few things wrong. I said, I'll give you $4,300 for it. Happens to be that I knew the book value was $6,500. He said, I'll give you $4,300. I said, well, I got to talk to my wife. I said, that's fine. I'm across the street, and you talk about it. 3 hours later, there's a knock on the door. He's there with the wife, the two little kids, and the title. I knew what that meant. Okay? He went and sold the car, and I got a great deal. Let me tell you what this gentleman had done. This gentleman bought the car 5 years ago for $17,605. $17,605. $3,000 of that dollars was a finance charge. His payments were $262 a month for 5 years. All Celeste had to do was save $200 a month for approximately 20 months. 22 months. It's all paid for. All taken care of. Now, I happen to know, because I call, tell you how you get information out of people. If you want to know something about a car, besides asking friends, call a dealership, but never talk to salesmen. Talk to the service department. Mechanics like to talk. And just ask them. You know, I'm thinking about getting a 95 Nissan Sentra. Tell me, have there been any recalls on this car? Have you had troubles with this car? Has it come through? Have you seen perennial problems? Man, tell you what, I had four different dealers tell me, four different service people. It's bulletproof. The car is an amazing value. Now, I happen to know that that car will get another 100,000 miles with normal routine maintenance. He paid $17,000 to get 80,000 miles out of the vehicle. Was that a smart thing? I don't hear anybody's answer. Was that a smart thing? That's not a smart thing, my friend. Can I just be very frank with you? If you talk to Warren Buffett, who made billions, he's a billionaire, in investments, anyone who knows anything about finances really knows, they'll tell you this. A car is the worst investment you ever make. It's toilet paper. I want you to think of a car as toilet paper. Each day, you're flushing a little bit of it down the toilet. It's a depreciable asset. Every day, it gets worth less. Okay? Every day. Gets put miles on it, miles on it, miles on it. So what you want to do, because you see, your time is money. The money you spend represents your blood, sweat, and tears. The last thing that you want to do, young person, is end up in debt up to your nose. Because you're going to feel the pressure. You're going to feel the pressure. And you don't want to make decisions right now without thinking through the long-term ramifications. My gosh, if I go into debt now, and I'm paying on my student loan, and I get this $17,000, $20,000 debt, then I'm paying on this really cool car that I want to drive, what if I want to get married in 3 years? Yeah, what if you do? Is it really fair to bring $30,000 worth of debt into a new relationship, and that person brings $40,000 worth of debt, and now you've got $70,000? You know the number one cause for divorce is financial problems. You know why? Because we don't keep our needs and our wants in check. And you buy into a system. Understand this. This entire system, the commercials, everything, is all about separating you from your hard-earned money. It's all about making you feel discontent. Now, I know a few things about money because I have to. Because I'm a father, I have a family, and I had to figure out ways to get ahead. In all these years, my goal has been to work myself into a position where I could pay cash for just about everything. I couldn't for a house. Before I bought a house, which I just did only 3-4 months ago, I talked to all 10 of the pastors that I work with. You think, Mark, get advice? I talked to all 10 of them. And I asked for their advice. I called Chris Pancras on the phone. He's the funny, goofy guy doing all the different figures here in Rock TV. Now, you might wonder why I trust him after seeing that. It's because I know him outside of Rock TV, and I know what kind of young man he is. He's a financial advisor. And I called him and I said, Chris, I want to ask you, what do you think I should do? Should I take money out to put 20% down on this house, or should I put the minimum down? And he said, Mark, let me do some calculations. He called me back. He said, Mark, listen, even though the housing market's good, you will make more money leaving as much as you can in your 403B plan than taking any out for a house. So I followed his advice. You know what that decision was? That decision was a $170,000 decision, because in 20 years, the money I was going to take out to put in an extra $10,000 on the house will be worth $180,000 in 20 years. Just that 10. You see, the decisions that you make with your money have far, far-reaching implications. Over these years, you know, my wife sometimes, she told me one day, she said, Mark, why don't you get a cute new little car like the kids are driving here? I said, well, honey, I said, I'm driving this one so the rest of you can have some of these kinds of things. You know, I've been working for a long time because I want to get us in a situation where I'm my own credit card. Avoid credit cards, young person. Avoid them. Avoid them like the plague. Some of you are in college. I think it ought to be absolutely illegal for these companies to come on campus and give you plastic. You would not believe the articles that were in the USA Today all of last year, and the amounts of depression and suicide among young persons in college that have credit card debt. Many of them carrying $2,000 or $3,000 of credit card debt, no money coming in whatsoever. For a long time, I worked two jobs just to get out of the debt that I was in. I would advise you, get out of debt as quickly and as soon as you can, because the Bible says, and it's true, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. You want to be your own person? You are much wiser to start your life, your future, out of debt, having worked your way a little bit of time through school, unless you've got grants and money coming in, and pay as you go. So when you're done, you get all kinds of options and nothing's hanging over your head. And it's possible to do. Just be patient. Just be patient. It's far better to start your life with a used car, it's fairly reliable, and $3,000 or $4,000 in the bank, than with $300 a month payments, the car of your dreams, and owing $50,000. It shuts down your options. If you walked around this neighborhood, or you went to the little suburbs here in the cities, you look at these people and you think, wow, everybody's doing good. Everybody's doing good. You know the people really doing good? Go and ask if you can see their financial page. Because behind those closed walls, with those two cars parked in the driveway, those two brand new cars, and the little pool in the back, and that gorgeous little house, are a mom and a dad who are stressed out of their mind. And little kids who hardly see their parents because mom and dad are slaves of what they own. Be careful. Be careful. Think. Think things through. Let me give you another big one, then we'll end. I had some others, but we'll do them another time. Attitude choices. Attitude. Listen, about 95% of your life is your attitude. You can wake up this morning and choose to be positive or choose to be negative. Let me give you an example that happened to me the last 2 days. I had to make some car decisions the last 2 days. The van that I have needed tires. So what I usually do is I usually let my fingers do the walking, and I call around usually 3 to 4 places, and I ask them for price quotes on the same type of tires. About 55,000. I got 92,000 miles on this van, and I'm going to try to get it to at least 145,000. I rust-proofed it, so it has not a speck of rust on it, and it's in very good shape. I try to maintain these vehicles very well, because it pays off. Maintenance pays off. It's been paid for a long time. So I called up on these tires, and I found tires $130 less just by calling around than the tires I bought 3.5 years ago. What happened 3.5 years ago was I was caught in a situation where I had no choice. My wife drove the car to the karate school. The car had a massive flat tire on it. I could not even budge the lug wrenches. I had, some of you know Randy Brewer used to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Professional, or some team. The Milwaukee Brewers, was it? Anyway, I forget who it was, but he used to play. He was in karate. He was friends of ours. He's 7'2", weighs about, well, a lot. He was standing on the wrench, and it wouldn't move. So I trying to save money, didn't want to have it towed. So I called the tire company, it was just a block away, and I said, listen, is it safe to drive this thing on this tire 5 miles an hour? I don't want to bend the rim, but I don't want to call the tow truck. He said it should be fine, and it was fine. Problem was I had to take the price of the tires they had, and it was $370. This time it was $236 because they had the time and the opportunity to call around. Well, they scratched a couple hubcaps. The next day my wife's driving it and lost one of the hubcaps. In the meantime, I'm getting a timing belt put in the Toyota because every 60,000 you need to have one put in the Camry. So I'm having it put in. When I pulled up to the house when I got all done, the car was smoking. I thought, that's funny. Shouldn't be smoking. I lifted up the hood. The alternator's sort of melting down inside. Smoke. I just had, well, Celeste, fortunately it wasn't me, had an alternator put in it when it was hers 4 months ago. It was $266. Still cheaper than car payments every month. See, that's what you have to know. And I'm thinking, this shouldn't have happened. Now, I could have been upset. I could have been ticked off. I could have been angry at all these little things that are going on. I just drove it up before the battery run down because your car won't run after a while if the alternator doesn't work. I drove it up and I explained it to the guy. He goes, Mark, no problem. You've been here before. I'll replace it for nothing. I didn't get in his face. Now, there's part of my personality that could do that. Then I got home. I found out that my wife, the hubcap's missing. So I called up Tires Plus, and I was sweet to them on the phone. And I said, hey, listen, Corey. I said, I don't know if you can do anything to help me or not, but, you know, I just got tires put in there last night. Remember me? He said, yeah, I remember you. I said, well, you know, one of the hubcaps got scratched pretty bad. And I said, the other one, well, it came off today because, you know, they didn't put it on right. If you put them on right, they don't come off. And I said, now, these aren't real expensive ones. I said, they were $20 for all four at Ford. By the way, let me tell you another little lesson. Plastic Ford hubcaps that I had on before, four of them. One came off because I had a blowout on the freeway. $83 a piece for the hubcap. I went to Target, bought the same kind of plastic, silver, four of them for $17.99. Financial decisions, you see. You learn to think things through. So I said to the guy, I said, listen, I don't want nothing. You don't have to get the Ford ones. I just wondered if you could do something. He goes, Mark, he says, you go pick some out for about that price and bring us the ticket. We'll pay for it. I said, thank you, Corey, very much. You know what all that was about, though? It was all about attitude choices. I had a choice to get really pissed or to go, you know what? That's not the response God wants me to have. I just deal with this. It totally, my whole day was gone just taking care of cars. Friday, there was things backed up, things I needed to do. I didn't get flustered. I didn't get all bothered. So, you know, I just have to deal with the cards that come to my life today. When you wake up in the morning, you can either get out of bed. Oh, crap, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to work. My job stinks. Or you can get out of bed, get in that shower. Man, I'm so glad I have a warm shower. So glad to be able to wake up and clean myself off every morning. Before I go to work, I got a car that'll get me to work with an air conditioning that keeps me cool. If you have that. If you don't, roll the window down. I have fresh air to breathe. You know? This is the first time my wife and I have ever had air conditioning in our house. First time this summer. And it's been on every day since April 1st. And it's really benefited my wife because she has terrible allergies in another house. We just had fans going all the time, sucking in all the pollen and everything. Anyway, attitudes. Attitudes. You don't have to go through life being a grouch. You don't have to go through life grumping and whining and, you know, cussing a blue streak at everything that happens. You can choose to take a positive outlook on life, but these are your choices. Better choices, better life. Bad choices, bad life. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your faithfulness. We want to thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. If it wasn't for your word, Lord, I can honestly say my life would not be what it is today. There are many, many bad decisions I would have made in my life. In relationship to my wife, in relationship to my children, in relationship to how I live each day, in relationship to money. I would have been like so many of my friends, just spending it as fast as I got it on me, me, me. Burdened down, weighed down. My attitude would be awful, Lord, if it wasn't for you. My life would be awful if it wasn't for the insight from your word. I want to ask you, Lord, that you'd help these young people to seriously consider how their lives could be different. We didn't even have a chance, Lord, tonight to talk about behavioral choices. But we think, Lord, of all the negative things that come into our life because we don't rein in our behavior, our mouth, our speech, eating habits, smoking habits, drinking habits, whatever they might be. And we end up suffering for it. God, I pray that You'd empower these young men and women and they walk out of here tonight realizing, man, I can make a difference in my life. My life can be more than what it's been. In Jesus' name, amen.